Oh, come, let us adore. Help me out. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Jesus, we greet thee. Born that happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Jesus is Lord, Jesus saves, Jesus is victorious. All praise, honor, and glory to him forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Wait, don't sit down just yet. Say hello to somebody next to you. Tell them God wins. Get a name. God bless you, bro. Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Pastor Michael's my name, and it's good to be together. Honestly, we have kids coming to Summit Church. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I'm told you can't have kids at church in Estes Park, but we have kids, and that's awesome. Great job, Lee. Thank you for working with those kiddos. I love little Trevor saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Yeah, in 2 weeks, I'm going to start a series on worship in Christmas based on the Magi. We have come to worship him in search of the Messiah. We have come to worship him, and one of those is going to be Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, don't you ever just feel like Daddy, 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 huh? Father God in heaven, yeah, and those are sweet, sweet. Sweet sounds. Awesome. I couldn't believe it. Today, somebody actually repeated back to me the outline from last week. Blew me away. You know, preachers, you're never supposed to ask anybody what you just talked about 2 minutes ago, let alone last week, right? Yeah. Yeah. So the first word was best. What were the other two words? Rest. Test. We didn't like the test part too well, did we? And today's text actually builds on that, but praise God, the focus seems to shift from the testing part over to the best and rest part. You like that? I think I do. So we pick it up here. This is chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, Hebrews, I didn't say the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, I want you to just hear again the words, verse 1, where it says, Hear it now. The promise of entering God's rest still stands. You hear it? The promise of entering God's rest still stands. And we can add the word there based on our study last week. Today. It still stands today. And then verse 2, for we have had the good news proclaimed to us. What is that good news? Well, you back up to verse 1 again. The promise of entering into God's rest still stands. Rest. Does that sound good to anyone this morning? Yeah, rest, rest. How do you spell rest? What does rest look like for you? So here we are once again in the midst of the holiday season. Does that sound like rest to anybody? Not necessarily, yeah, right. Maybe for you, rest is sleeping in. Maybe for you, just maybe even to be able to fall asleep would be rest. I don't know. Reading a book might be rest. Driving through the park might be rest. Maybe for you, rest would be a vacation, you know, preferably somewhere warm and sunny, especially on Tuesday this week, right? It looks like something's coming in, something warm and sunny this week. Yeah. Have you ever said or heard someone say, you know, I'm really glad to be back from vacation because maybe now I can finally get some rest? Yeah, you've heard that. I went on a fishing trip with a group of guys, and we shared a room that had wall-to-wall bunk beds. And of course, knowing men and their sleeping habits and being concerned about snoring and wanting to make sure I would get the rest I needed, I brought earplugs along. Yeah, well, the first morning I woke up to find everybody was gone. And I thought, wow, those guys really wanted to get an early start on the fishing. So I walked out into the living room to find those same guys strung out all over floors and couches. Turned out, I being the only one with earplugs, snored everybody else out of the room. Yep, I didn't have a clue. I was sleeping hard. Valerie must sleep hard because she never complained about the problem. So those guys, in a very sweet way, gave me my own private room from then on out. At least I wouldn't need earplugs anymore, I guess. How do you spell rest? Well, it's definitely not sleeping in the same room with Michael Descoli. I guess that works. Our text today actually highlights three different types of rest. The first one is in verse 4. Notice it talks about seventh-day rest. For 6 days, God worked at creating the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day, he did what? Yeah, God rested. There is a rest from our labor. That's a good thing. We love our days off. We love our weekends, and just let's just acknowledge it. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. The second type of rest, not only a seventh-day rest, but notice there's also a Canaan rest talked about here. The story behind the lesson of Canaan rest, most of you know, Moses led the Hebrews out of slavery in Egypt to freedom in Canaan. So rest becomes about liberation. So in this case, it's about freedom right here. Now on those two rests, those first two, there is a greater spiritual significance to each one of them. The rest Christ offers us, and the series is greater than, the rest Christ offers us is greater than temporal freedom or a day off. Seventh day rest actually becomes for us a picture of rest that we find in Jesus Christ through salvation. Jesus invites us out of all of our striving, out of all of the effort, out of all the performance, out of all that need to be good enough, into real rest in Him. Rest for your soul. Rest to the core of who you are. Full acceptance based on His great love and not on our measuring up. Yeah, amen. Anybody want to say amen with that? Praise God, yeah. So Canaan rest is then the result of that salvation. It's about our inheritance in Jesus Christ. Now we need to understand this. In the Canaan, as spelled out here, there will still be battles to be fought. But as we sang today, Christ is our victory. In Canaan, there will still be territories to claim, territories to develop, but Christ is our provider. Christ is our sustainer. Christ wants to help us in this new land even more than we want to help ourselves. Canaan becomes the land of blessing, definitely a land of rest, but it's a foreshadow of a greater rest to come. So this takes us to our third rest. And this third rest is a future rest that we will one day come to enjoy in the eternal presence of God. We tend to like to think of those words, rest in peace. Verse 9 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His." Now, I know what some of you might be thinking right here. You're saying, hold on, Michael, seventh day and Sabbath rest, they're one and the same. And you know, you're right. But here's the deal. In the original language, the word that's used throughout our text today is a word that's already been presented to us at least 8 times, and it's a different word than the word that's used in verse 9. So most likely, if you look at most of your Bibles, you'll find the word rest just translated that way throughout the entire text. But seventh-day rest and Canaan rest, those first two rests, are described in the Greek using a very interesting word. It's the word kata pasis. Kata pasis. Kata is to cause, and pasis actually looks a lot like and sounds a whole lot like our English word pause. So those first two rests are talking about a cause to pause, a cause to pause kind of rest. God intentionally designed you with the need to stop. Though some of us try, you just cannot keep going on. So I know that there's someone here who needs to hear this from us, from God, from me today. And it's simply this. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your hard work. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your ambition. Thank you for your incredible work ethic. You have run well. You've been diligent in all of these things. You've proven yourself. But as much as you need to work hard, you also must learn to rest hard. Hear it. Work hard, rest hard. God not only has given you permission to rest, He's created you for it. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. God wants us to rest, but the question is, will you? Will you enjoy the gift that He's given? Now, this third rest, verse 9, it's a totally different word. It appears once, and then we're brought right back to the cause to pause kind of rest. This word here is the word sabbatismos. Sabbatismos. It's much bigger than seventh-day rest, bigger than cause-to-pause rest. That rest needs to be seen as a type of road sign that points us to something greater. So what we're talking about here in sabbatismos is a fullness of time kind of rest. It's to follow in the reality of God's perpetual rest, regardless of what life might be throwing at you. Whoa. See, while there are many seventh-day rests in a lifetime, many road signs, there will one day be an ultimate rest that is perfect and that is eternal. This is about eternity. This is about rest in heaven, and that's a good thing. But heaven isn't the only place, and heaven isn't the only thing that the sabbatismos is talking about. If you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, your eternity began the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ and put your hope in the Lord. God wants you to begin learning to walk in fullness of rest even now. your eternal rest even now. The Hebrews walked right up to the gate, the threshold of resting in Canaan. Then they saw the obstacles, they saw the threats, they turned their backs and they walked away. They missed it. And it's saying to us, don't do the same thing. They failed to see that God, who got them this far, would also see them through. They became so focused on the threats that they failed to see Creator God is always greater than. He is able. We sang it. He will see you through. He will never fail. No obstacle is too great for God. Keep walking. Keep believing. Keep trusting. The Hebrews missed it. They serve as an example to anyone who hears it. And right here, lies one of the secrets to a life of rest. It's the word assurance. Assurance. God will see you through. Please trust Him. In these last days, the obstacles will certainly grow greater, more persistent, more threatening, but they do not stand a chance against the living God. And God is with you. He is able to handle anything that life throws your way. He is more than able. He's more than able. He's more than able. He's more than able. Keep walking. Keep your eyes on Him. Are you hearing this morning? Can anybody just thank God for that right now? You better believe it. Think about this. How many obstacles that you faced 10 years ago are still a reality for you today? Think about it. I have a hunch, not many. Not many. Somehow you got through them then, and you probably came out doing just fine. You probably came out okay. Today, you have a whole new set of obstacles. God, who carried you through then, will carry you through now. And so here's a favorite application for you. Practice keeping a prayer journal. You know, as you're going through life, as you're dealing with stuff, just get a little notebook and write the date that you began praying through something. And then you just watch as you pray. And when that prayer is answered, you write the date. And it's amazing. Just do it for a year. Do it for 6 months. Write the prayer, date, write the answer, the date. And then, as you go forward through life, facing new obstacles, take out that little journal that you've created and just take a look at what God has done for you and just be reminded, He carried me then, He will carry you now. Assurance. It's a key to perpetual rest. We need to be reminded, God is with us, we are not alone, God is able. So right here is an interesting idea that's been a topic of discussion among Jewish rabbis. It takes us back to the creation story, Genesis chapters 1 and 2. You're familiar here, most of you, that God worked 6 days creating the heavens and the earth, and then on the seventh day He did what? He rested, right? So on the first day, God created light. He then celebrated the light that He had made. He said, "It is good." In that act, He separated night from day. And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, there was evening and there was morning the first day. In other words, in the first day of creating, that day had a beginning and that day had an end. In fact, if you look at each of the 6 days of His active creating, you will find the very same statement. There was evening and there was morning the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day. Each of the 6 days had a beginning and an end. But the seventh day is different. There's no mention of morning or evening or beginning or end the seventh day. presents the possibility to us that while the other days came and went, the day of God's rest had no end. The God kind of rest, sabbatismos, is a forever kind of rest. And right here lies the appeal of God to anyone who will hear it. Long ago, the Hebrews failed to enter into God's rest. But friends, that didn't mean the end of rest. It didn't mean the end of it. And today, if you will hear, the promise of entering into God's rest still stands. So be diligent in making sure you don't miss it. It's good news, and it's good news that's being spoken out and proclaimed to you right now. The God kind of rest, sabbatismos, the fullness of time rest, the forever rest is available. But the question is, will you act on it by faith, by learning to trust in and obey the Lord no matter what? Because as long as you're going to hold on to whatever it is you think you need to hold on to, that thing is just going to rob you and rob you and rob you of the blessings and the fullness that God has for you. Yeah. Repentance, surrender, I'm yours, Lord. This other stuff, it just trips me up. How do you spell rest? How do you spell rest? So these four young couples rented a summer cabin for 2 months. The idea was that each of the couples would take a two-week rotation there at the cabin with the combined 13 children from the four households. So each couple gets 2 weeks at the cabin with everybody's kids, 13 kids. Well, one of the couples was bragging about this to a friend, and the friend, you know, said, I just don't get it. 2 weeks in a cabin with 13 kids. I can't see any kind of vacation in that. No, you're missing the point here. The vacation isn't about the 2 weeks at the cabin. The vacation is about the 6 weeks at home without kids. Yeah, how do you spell rest? God is crying out to anyone who will hear it. The promise of entering God's rest still stands. But I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't point out potential tragedy here. Verse 1 calls us to be diligent in making it happen. Verse 2 uses the example of the Hebrews with this statement, "This message was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed." And when we get to chapter 11, we're going to see those who obeyed. For those of you who have been in church for a long, long time, you please hear what this passage is saying. It is possible to hear the truth of God time and time again and yet allow it to have no impact on your life whatsoever, really, because you fail to act on it. Text really says it's hearing plus believing that equals resting, and that believing piece is an action piece. So you can't believe what you haven't heard, but hearing does require that we respond, that we act on it in faith. Yeah, we need church. Church is good, but church in and of itself isn't enough. Yeah, we need good preaching today, but good preaching in and of itself isn't the path to the God kind of rest. The Hebrews heard about Canaan but failed to move in. Had they truly believed, they would have acted on it with full assurance and with full confidence. Hearing plus believing equals resting. Hearing God's word but failing to act on it in faith, action, is like walking right up to the door of Canaan, seeing the threats, seeing the obstacles, and then turning your back and walking away. Simply because we fail to trust God. So be diligent. Hear what the word is saying. Make every effort to make sure you don't miss it. For those of you who are new today, and this is all new to you, and you're hearing some of this for the first time, what God wants you to hear this morning is it's not too late for you. The promise of entering into God's rest still stands, and it's good news to anyone who will hear it. It's being spoken to you right now. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Will you believe? Will you act on, respond to, and finally surrender to that which you know has been stirring in your spirit? You have been pregnant with a need for God for a long, long time, and today is the day that God wants to give birth to His Holy Spirit in your life. Will you finally surrender and come into the God kind of rest? Assurance. We're talking assurance here. Confidence that God will see you through despite all the obstacles. In that, let me give you two things that tend to rob believers of this kind of rest. Okay, the first one is pride. It's the idea, I can handle this by myself. I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. Pride convinces us that we really don't need God's help. I mean, after all, He's way busy doing all kinds of other stuff. Besides, I'm good enough. Why waste His time? I'll just work harder. I'll just try harder. I'll just toughen up. With a little more self-effort, we can get through this. We can get through this. But the Bible says, no, no, no. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. You need God. I need God. It sounds so trite, sounds so mundane, but it is so, 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 so real. I couldn't believe how it jumped off the page of a newsletter I read 2 months ago. We need Him. I need Him. Call to rest. Put all your pride down. Humble yourself and come into this full assurance, confidence that God is able. God is more than able. God will see you through. He will be your rest in the midst of the challenge. He will be your rest in the midst of the storm. The second one is this panic thing. We're not going to make it. I don't see any way through this. I don't know what we're going to do. It's that lie that says God either can't or won't do anything to help you. Yet all through Scripture, the Bible says things like, call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. I love those words, and you shall glorify me. The reality is, God wants to come through for you because He wants you to be a testimony that God really is alive and working and making a difference in the lives of those who will put their trust in Him. That's what this is all about. God, who created the heavens and the earth, is not only able, He's ready, He's willing, He will move. And this is so, so important to me, because did I ever grow up with panic? Panic, panic. Yeah, just get around our family. Everything's a big deal. Some of you can relate to that. It's all a big deal. Thank you that you can relate to that. I mean, my buddy Pete, you know, I praise God for Pete, the guy who I credit for my coming to faith. There was just peace in that guy. Somehow he knew things would work out. And one time he said to me, Mikey, you and me, we just don't process things the same way. What's the difference? Well, one is panic and the other is peace. And I heard my mom and dad, I don't know how many times, I don't know how we're going to make it. We're never going to get ahead. How will we ever get through this? And I heard that over and over and over again. Well, you know, I was destined to be a Catholic priest, second son. So when I came to faith in one of those Protestant churches and suddenly was called to be a preacher, my dad said, you can't live here anymore. We're Catholic, right? So my dad admired me. I mean, he wanted to be where I was, but all of a sudden, you can't live here anymore. Fortunately, my dad and I, we had peace. We made peace. You know, praise God, he started meeting with a priest every Thursday night. He set up a table out in our sunroom and was studying the Bible. I just want to believe that word came alive to my dad. So Thanksgiving, 1996, we're playing dominoes, my dad and me. And it was a sweet moment, and I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to say to my dad, Dad, you know what? What? I think you're going to make it. And my dad laughed, and he said, you know what? I think you're right. That would be the last time I'd ever sit with my dad again, because the next time I got home would be April, that next year, got word they were taking my dad off dialysis. He only had 3 days to live. I got home just in time to watch him take his last breath. My dad made it to the finish line. And so will you. God will see you through. And then my mind was blown because here I am, my siblings either expressing little faith or Catholicism. All of a sudden, a spirit of worship broke out in that hospital room. And we together were singing the same songs. And God was glorified at my dad's last breath. And God wants you to hear it, friend. He will see you through. Assurance, full confidence that God is really working on your behalf. You are not alone. Be not afraid. He is with you. And you can go through that gate with confidence. You don't need to run from the giants, but you can go forward because God is with you. Hear what the Spirit is saying and enjoy His rest even in the storm. Let's pray. Just you and God right now. It's the only thing that matters. I don't know, maybe most of you know this by now, but I've been just hung in Lamentations chapter 3, where it says, because of the Lord's great compassion, we are not consumed, for His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, therefore I wait on Him. And just hearing those words, the Lord is my portion, therefore I'll wait on Him. Wait on the Lord here a moment. What is the Lord saying to you? Maybe right now you're burdened for someone else. Maybe it's concerning you. What's the Spirit of God saying to you? This guy on the stage, irrelevant. The Spirit of God speaking into your life, it's everything that matters. What is God saying to you? And will you respond? If so, how will you respond? You take some time and think about that as we continue to worship.
Glory. your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's all from you, so we can trust you, God. It's your life. You get love. You bring light to the dark. You give hope. You restore every life that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
Creation praises you.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
He's breathing out the fullness of His Holy Spirit even now. Just take a deep breath and receive the fullness of His Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise You, God. Thank You, Jesus. We receive You by faith. Yeah.